It is not easy nowadays to find people who keep their word. People who always do what they said they would do. Trustable people are rare. Even within the Christian church, the word of some people cannot be trusted. They are not reliable. How sad. They promise to do something and they do not do it. They frustrate their family. They frustrate their children. They frustrate their friends. Their own children do not trust them. They are like the scribes and the Pharisees that Jesus talked about in Matthew 23, verse 3. They say and do not do. Earlier, Jesus said a few things about us. Actually, he said three things about us. Number one, he said, we are the salt of the earth. Number two, he said, we are the light of the world. And number three, he said, our righteousness must exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees. We are indeed special people. We are not just anybody. We are God's people. We cannot behave like the rest of the world. This morning in our text, Jesus is going to explain that his followers are different from others. They say what they mean and they mean what they say. Today we will learn what God has to say concerning our word. His question this morning is, do people trust your word? Is your word reliable? Please turn with me to our text, Matthew chapter 5, verse 33, as we continue where we stopped. Jesus is still addressing the citizens of heaven. Earlier, he talked about anger. He talked about adultery. He talked about divorce. And he gave his opinion on these things. This time, he changes the subject and talks about our word, about telling the truth, about vows, swearing that we are telling the truth. We should mean what we say, and we should say what we mean. In this next section here, verses 33 to 37, our Savior gives us another example where the righteousness of the Christians must exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees. This is example number 4 of a series of 6. It has to do with his people keeping their word. So continuing his commandment to the citizens of heaven, Jesus says in verse 33, again, you have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not swear falsely, but shall perform your oaths to the Lord. But I say to you, do not swear at all, neither by heaven, for it is God's throne, nor by the earth, for it is his footstool, nor by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. Nor shall you swear by your head, because you cannot make one hair white or black. But let your yes be yes, and your no be no. For whatever is more than these is from the evil one. With the word again, Jesus now switched the topic from divorce to vows, broken promises, telling the truth without having to swear that we are telling the truth. Once again, he uses the same expression, you have heard, because many people in those days could not read. They relied on what they had heard from others. So Jesus is saying here, He is referring to the things that they had heard. What had they heard? Well, they had heard at least three things. Number one, they had heard the third commandment of God in Exodus chapter 20, verse 7. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. This verse condemned the person who swears in the name of God that something is true. They had heard, number two, about perjury in Leviticus 19:12. It says, you shall not swear by my name falsely. And they had heard about keeping their word. That is in the book of Numbers, chapter 30, verse 2. A verse that we should all know. And it says there, a man shall not break his word. He shall do according to all that proceeds out of his mouth. That's what they had heard. The reason for God to give laws was to prevent chaos. God gave laws for our benefit. It would be extremely difficult to live in a lawless world. The particular law that Jesus deals with here has to do with our conversation, making sure that we do not lie nor bear false witness, but keep our word. A pastor asked the congregation, who read the 18th chapter of Mark? And many people raised their hand. And he replied, very good, just the crowd that I want to talk to. My topic this morning is lying. Mark only has 16 chapters. It is amazing how much we lie to ourselves. We say to ourselves, I will never do that again. And we do it. Or we say, I'm going to do that. And we don't. We lie to ourselves all the time. We also lie to one another. We even lie to God, who knows everything. A new poll conducted by the Associated Press suggests that most Americans feel that lies are an acceptable, even a necessary part of daily life. Even though most people dislike the idea of lying. 65% of those questioned said that it was okay to lie to avoid hurting someone's feelings. But over half of the respondents said that lying was never justified. One third said that it was acceptable to lie to take an extra day off work. Others said that it was acceptable to lie on a resume or to cheat on our taxes or to lie to our spouse about an affair. Considering the poll results, ethics columnist Randy Cohen warned that lies do have a cost. And he said that the main cost of lying is the loss of credibility. When someone finds out that you have lied to them, you lose credibility in their eyes. They cannot trust you anymore. Your word is not reliable anymore. Canada Justice Leo Landreville of the Ontario Supreme Court admitted before a Senate committee, I often lie on minor matters. Many Canadians were shocked. A man vested with the responsibility of handing out justice, who had so often commanded those before the bar to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, had himself handled the truth loosely. He was the first Ontario Supreme Court justice ever to be removed from the bench. People lost trust and respect for him. That's why Ephesians 4:25 says, put away lying. Stop lying. Each one speak truth to his neighbor. Start telling the truth to each other. For we are members of one another. We are part of the same body. Benjamin Franklin said, a lie stands on one leg, the truth on two. Someone says, a good memory is needed once you have lied. And that's the problem when you get older. You cannot lie anymore because you cannot remember. Martin Luther said, a lie is a snowball. The longer it is rolled on the ground, the larger it becomes. Mark Twain asked, what is the difference between a cat and a lie? And he said, a cat has only 9 lives. I guess a lie has many more. But C.H. Spurgeon warned. He said, every liar is a child of the devil and will be sent home to his father. Why is it so easy to lie? Because it is in our nature. We were born liars. It is natural for us to lie. We do not have to teach children to lie. They know. We have to teach kids at an early age to tell the truth because they will lie naturally. They lie before they can walk, before they can talk. A tiny little boy was told by his mom, do not touch those chocolate chip cookies before supper. When she came back into the kitchen, he had chocolate all over his face. And she asked him, did you eat a cookie? And he shook his head to say no. He could not talk, but he could lie. Who taught him? Nobody. David said in Psalm 58, verse 3, that the wicked go astray as soon as they are born. He said they come out of their mother's womb speaking lies. A person must be born again to get rid of that old nature. What if we could not believe anything anybody says anymore? Do you realize how confused our society would be? We are not there yet, but man, we are getting close. Even presidents of nations, presidents of large corporations, people in leadership positions, they lie left and right. It is very important to tell the truth. It is important to be trusted. It is important for our word to be as good as gold, especially for us Christians representing Christ, children of God. Some Christians are distrustful. They say things that they don't mean. They promise to do things and they don't intend to do them. Many get disappointed because they had put their trust in their word. From the beginning of time, men had the tendency to lie. And because people lied so much, then they were asked to swear to confirm that they were telling the truth. Taking an oath became necessary to support that they were telling the truth. So people began to swear by God. Hebrews 6 says the lesser always swear by the greater. They would never say, I swear by my dog that it is true. Hopefully they are greater than their dog. But the Jews wanted to avoid the impropriety of swearing by God's name. So they substituted heaven, earth, Jerusalem, or their own head in verses 34 to 36. And Jesus condemned such evasion of the law as hypocrisy, and he forbade any form of swearing or taking oaths in ordinary conversation. The Jews divided their oaths into two different classes. Those that were absolutely binding and those that were not binding. And we see this in Matthew 23, verses 16 to 22. Swearing by God was a binding oath. They had to do it. Swearing by heaven was not binding. They did not have to do it. Swearing by the earth was not binding. They did not have to do it. Swearing by the temple was not binding. They did not have to do it. Swearing by the gold of the temple was binding. That was God's gold. Swearing by the altar was not binding. It was just some temple's furniture. But swearing by the gift on it was binding because that was God's gift. The idea behind this was if God is involved somewhat, God became a partner in the transaction. And if God was not used, he had nothing to do with the transaction. The point that Jesus made here is that no man can keep God out of any transaction. God is always there. He's everywhere. Because they could swear by a lot of things without being bound to do it, they became very clever with their words. It was a fine art to be able to swear by something that was not a binding oath. And this introduced confusion in their society. People had to listen very carefully when others would make their oath. Is he swearing by the altar or by the gift on the altar? Did he say by God or did he say by heaven? Not only was it hypocritical, it was foolish to try to substitute another word. To swear by heaven is to swear by God's throne, Jesus said in verse 34. To swear by the earth is to swear by God's footstool, Jesus said in verse 35. To swear by Jerusalem is to swear by God's royal city, Jesus said in verse 35. To swear by one's own head is to swear by God, the creator of that head. Only God can make one hair white or black, verse 36. I did not plan the color of my hair. I did not choose to be this light blonde color. That was God's doing. Even our head is his. So life cannot be divided into compartments where God is involved in some and God is not involved in others. There cannot be one kind of language at church and another at the factory or at the office. There cannot be one kind of conduct at church and another at home or in the business world. We must not exaggerate. We must not allow people to exaggerate on our behalf. It gives those you hear a false impression, and it is lying. Lying is at the bottom of a whole list of vices. As long as any man is willing to face the truth and to confess it, there is hope of his recovery from sin. Jesus said, "The truth will set you free," in John 8:32. Most people despise liars. God's presence is not for the liar. The lake of fire is the liar's destiny, the Bible says. A 12-year-old boy was an important witness in a huge lawsuit. One of the lawyers, after cross-examining the kid, said, "Your father has been telling you how to testify, hasn't he?" And the boy said, "Yes, sir." "Now tell us how your father told you to testify." And he said, "Well, father told me that the lawyers would try to entangle me in my testimony. But if I would just tell the truth, I could tell the same thing every time. That's the beauty about the truth. It is always consistent. Many people, in order to settle an argument or to end a controversy, take an oath or swear by God that it is the truth. We must not do that. Hitler based his entire strategy upon lying. And he said that it was the way to succeed in this world. Well, he did not succeed very long. We cannot go on lying for very long. Sooner or later, we will get busted. When someone is accused of perjury, we think, oh, that's terrible. But somehow, it's different when we tell a white lie to get out of trouble. There is no such thing as a little white lie. A lie is a lie. There's lie and there's truth. There is no in between. It is as bad a sin as a big lie. There is an anonymous saying, those who are given to white lies soon become colorblind. Satan's favorite tool for deceiving and destroying souls is half-truth. He coats the poison of a lie with a sugar coating of truth. It tastes sweet at first, but it is bitter. It is deadly after we swallow it. Beware of half-truths. Half-truths are as bad as whole lies. The message here is pretty clear. We must not lie. God hears every word. All promises are made in the presence of God. Therefore, they are all sacred. We live in the presence of God. We cannot escape. We cannot go from the presence of God. He sees everything. He hears everything. One day, the famous Bishop Warren Candler of the Methodist Episcopal Church was preaching to a large audience, and he used as his text the story of Ananias and Sapphira in Acts chapter 5, who lied to God and they were struck dead. And the old bishop said, God does not strike people dead for lying like he used to. If he did, where would I be? And when his audience giggled, he came right back and he said, I tell you what I would be. I would be right here preaching to an empty house. It is tragic when a person has to swear that he is saying what is true. It is tragic when a person's word cannot be believed. Because of previous deception, many demand an oath. Swear to me that you are going to do it. Or swear to me this is the truth. It should not be. For the Christian, an oath is totally unnecessary. His yes should mean yes. His no should mean no. And to use any stronger language is to admit that Satan, the evil one, rules our lives. There are no circumstances under which it is proper for a Christian to lie. God wants us to be people of our word. We should not have to take an oath. We should speak the truth, and we should do what we said we would do. It is a known fact that man has the tendency to lie. And because of that, in a court of law, they make everyone now swear that they are telling the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. If after taking that oath, they lie, they become guilty of perjury, and the punishment for this is severe. There are people who say that Christians should never take an oath in court, and some refuse on religious ground, because Jesus said not to swear at all. The Quakers still refused all oats. Does the saying of Jesus here forbids us to take an oath in the witness box? No. It is not what Jesus is talking about. There is nothing wrong with taking an oath in a court of law. We read in Hebrews 6 verses 13 and 17 that when God made a promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no one greater, he swore by himself. He confirmed it with an oath. Jesus himself testified under oath at his trial before the high priest in Matthew 26, 63. There were occasions when Paul put himself under oath. He said in Galatians 1:20, "Before God, I do not lie." He said in 2 Corinthians 1:23, "I call God as witness against my soul." Jesus wants his people, the citizens of the kingdom, to be so transparent that people will never ask an oath from them. We should have such integrity that people will believe what we say. Telling the truth at all time will make people trust our word, and they won't require an oath from us. They will know that we are trustworthy. If you say that you are going to do something and don't do it, do you think people will believe you when you talk about the greatness of God? No way. It's a terrible witness. When a person is constantly swearing by God that he is telling the truth, we must be careful. That person might be a chronic liar, and he is aware of his tendency to lie, so he swears by God all the time to convince the people that he is telling the truth. I knew a guy who was such a liar, his neighbor had to call his dog for him. That's bad when your own dog won't believe you. We need to be men and women of our word. If someone asks us to do something and we cannot do it, or we don't intend to do it, let's not say, "Oh, I'll pray about it." That's deceptive. That's hypocrisy. We need to simply say no can do and let our no be no. But if we say yes, then we need to do it. We need to learn to let our yes be yes and our no be no. A yes should always mean yes, and a no should always mean no. Even if we realize later that it is going to cost us more than we thought it would, even at our own loss, we need to do it. Is it ever right to tell a lie? That's a tough question. When the lives of the two spies sent by Joshua, when their lives were at stake in Jericho, Rahab, a prostitute, lied to the soldiers who were trying to kill them, in Joshua chapter 2. Later in the book of Hebrews chapter 11, verse 31, she is commended for her faith, for believing in the God of the Hebrews who had sent those two men. There was an article in the Saturday Evening Post labeled "The Government Has the Right to Lie" by Arthur Sylvester, Assistant Secretary of Defense. And he said, and I quote him, "If I had been living in the early 19th century, in what was then our country's West, and had been a religious man, I am sure I would have taken my stand with the lying Baptist against the truthful Baptist." What was he talking about? He was referring to an incident in 1804 in Kentucky when some Baptists were disputing whether they should tell the truth and sacrifice the life of a child, or lie to the marauding Indians and possibly save the life of the child. In a case of life and death, things are different. We need the guidance of the Lord to do what is right. Under normal circumstances, when people cannot take a person's word, it leaves a cloud of doubt over that individual. They always question whether the person is telling the truth or not. Unfortunately, this has happened in many Christian homes, where the children could not take their own parents' word. How sad is this? They wondered if their parents were telling the truth or not. They wondered if the parents would do what they said or not. And it has caused many children to lose trust and lose respect for their parents. When trust is gone, it's very hard to regain. To lie is the nature of the devil. Jesus said in John 8:44, there is no truth in him. He is a liar and the father of it. We do not want to be like him. We do not want to do his work. We need help. And if we need help, God can help us. He can change us. He can strengthen us. And he can make us men and women of our word. Psalm 120 verse 2 says, deliver my soul, O Lord, from lying lips and from a deceitful tongue. We need to be delivered from lying lips. The ability to speak is man's most wonderful gift from God. Jesus taught that our conversation should be so honest, our character should be so true, that we would never need crutches for people to believe what we say. The more words a man uses to convince us, the more suspicious we should be. So let's examine ourselves this morning. We need to delight in the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. We need to stop embellishing stories, exaggerating, and telling white lies. Let's live in the consciousness of God, and we will not need to swear by anything that belongs to God. We will not want to lie, knowing that God hears us and he knows the truth. We will want to do what we have promised because God has heard the promise. Proverbs 19:5, I close with this one. It says, a false witness will not go unpunished, and he who speaks lies will not escape. And you know Revelation 21:8 says that all liars will have their part in the lake that burns with fire. This is serious business. You start with a little white lie, you don't know where you will end. Let's be totally truthful and transparent. This is what God expects from the citizens of his kingdom. This is what God has to say about people's word. Is your word reliable? Lying is something that is so easily done. Sometimes people can get away with it for years. People don't know. But whenever you get busted, so goes your reputation. And people won't trust you anymore. And God says that should not happen to my children. That should not happen to the citizens of the kingdom. There is no liars in my kingdom, God is saying. We need to tell the truth at all time, regardless of the penalty, regardless of the cost. But I guarantee you the penalty for telling the truth will always be less than the penalty for telling a lie. So important. People should not ever doubt our word. We do not need to swear on a stack of Bible that we are telling the truth. We are telling the truth at all time. When we say yes to doing something, we do it. And when we say no, it's no. Our yes is yes, our no is no, and people trust us. We need to be trusted. We are the children of God. So may the Lord be with you. May the Lord bless each and every one of you. May He bless your home, your family, your children, your work tomorrow. May He help you to tell the truth at all time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.